Good morning, everyone. This is the 29th of August, 2013, and I'm beginning on a new section of esoteric psychology. This is, let's call this, the beginning of, well, first of all, let's make sure sometimes, there we go. Beginning of Angel of the Presence commentaries, or AOTPC, and this is number one. These are very abstruse stanzas dealing with the process of initiation and the merging of the angel which accompanies every, well, the great majority of human beings at a certain high point of development when the qualities of the angel totally infuse the personality, or at least to a great extent. Maybe that total infusion comes more at the fourth degree, but already at initiation, the true initiation, this is happening. And to a degree, it's happening all along from the time of the first initiation, a growing soul infusion. There are many occult hints in this material, much about the chakras which are used so that the angel can merge with the human being. Now, when we come to trying to discover what is the angel of the presence, in one way it is the solar angel. The solar angel is never the entire angel of the presence. The solar angel is its own type of entity, which is the returning nirvani from a previous Mahamanvantara, and has gone to Sirius, on the path to Sirius, presumably, for education as a solar angel after having graduated from the human kingdom in the previous solar system, and is taking up its focus within the cosmic ethers, and a portion of it is extended into the higher mental plane where it forms the lotus-like substratum of the soul. The soul is really an extension of the monad. It's always monadic consciousness in whatever degree of lessening or attenuation. And the monad comes forth onto the higher mental plane, and there it is supported by the energy of the solar angel, who confers upon it a vehicle made out of higher mental matter, but substanded by a portion of the angel. And this higher mental vehicle has the quality, we call it the egoic lotus, it has the quality of I-ness connected with it. It turns the consciousness of the attenuated monad on the higher mental plane back upon itself so that there can be realized a center, an egoic center. In other words, it sees that the descending monadic consciousness undergoes a kind of separation or a kind of emphasis of distinctness, which it does not have on the monadic plane because it is so thoroughly part of everything. But that sense of being the whole is somehow reduced through this quality of I-ness, this reflexive consciousness which the solar angel invests in the in that focus of the monad on the higher mental plane. And so that when incarnation occurs, there is the ending of the animal-like participation mystique, where there is no sense of separate being. The qualities of I-ness invested by the solar angel make the consciousness of the lower man become aware of itself as a center. And that center has a growing importance within his field of consciousness until it becomes that with which the lower consciousness identifies itself. And that is the birth of lower ego in the lower worlds. Gradually that lower ego is outgrown as the submersed monad begins to retract and focus on higher planes. At first there is a focus on the etheric physical plane, and then on the astral, and then on the lower mental, and finally there's a return of the monad, or the, let's call it the monad in extension. There's a return of the monad in extension to the higher mental plane, where it achieves soul consciousness, the same kind of consciousness that the monad has when it descends to the higher mental plane. But its further extension into the lower worlds is coming forth in ignorance, as it were, and very benighted, until it works its way out of identification with lower types of matter in the dense physical vehicle of the planetary logos. Then it can return to the higher mental plane, and from thence, via the Antikarana and other means of return, the immersed monad can return unto itself. And there is the great homecoming and the ending of the monadic pilgrimage. So consciousness is sustained, as I see it, at least on the monadic plane, but at the same time it is attenuated on various different levels. So there is like an elevator of consciousness. The consciousness of the human being is operating on a number of different levels at the same time. So we have our own type of personal consciousness here, which is really the consciousness of the being which we are, which is the monad in extension, however attenuated and reduced that consciousness may be. We have that right here, but in meditation we also can enter a higher type of consciousness, occasionally of the higher mental plane, and gradually through the building of the Antikarana, we enter a type of planetary consciousness, which is that of the abstract mind, or conditioned by the vehicle called the abstract mind, and eventually by the organizing Buddhic vehicle, and eventually by the organizing Atmic vehicle. We are realizing what we really are all the time, that we are the monad in extension. And as we rise into the highest world, from which that ray of the monad went forth into the five lower worlds of human and superhuman evolution, we realize that in fact we have always been the one working from the monadic level of consciousness, but at the same time having various stages of consciousness which are simultaneous along the monadic emanative stream, if I can call it that. So we have multi-leveled consciousness, only by a process of what I call dimensional sealing, the lower consciousness does not know that the other higher ones simultaneously exist. In other words, we do not right now know that we are conscious on the plane of soul, even now. We do not know in this lower stage that we inhabit, that we are that we have on the monadic level right now full monadic consciousness, and it's the same we that's having the consciousness. So these are kind of mysterious things, I suppose, and as we learn how to use the Antikarana and can focus at any level at will, we'll begin to realize that we have all of these levels of consciousness simultaneously, and our purpose is to return to the monadic level per se, having accomplished on our pilgrimage a kind of redemption of the various types of matter with which the monad in extension identifies itself. Well, you know, that is partially theoretical, but it's the best that I've been able to gather about the mysteries of this fluid something we call consciousness, which is really non-differentiable. There is one consciousness going on in all of our planet, and beyond that in all of the solar system, and beyond that in all of the galaxy. And in fact, there's only one consciousness in all of cosmos, but one being is looking through variously attenuated apertures, if I can put it like that. There are extensions of the one consciousness. We might call them somewhat degraded extensions or attenuated extensions or reduced extensions. And it's almost like coming from a vast space down to a tiny point. And sometimes we are that tiny point, or we identify with the tiny point, but really we have consciousness all along the line of emanation which has descended from the One. We are the One. And when we rise in what I call monadic retraction, it is the One that is rising. So how do we realize ourselves as the One? Because it's, you know, in DK's words, so trite and unrealized platitude. Well, this is the art of identification. Then we have to merge with the object that we think we are seeing and feel ourselves with the heart as if we are within every object of perception. In any case, all of this is much facilitated when there is the merging of the angel and the man. And this is what these seven stanzas are about. The angel of the presence, from one point of view, can be considered in some of its functions to be the supervising solar angel. From another perspective, the angel of the presence is the shadow of the monad, and so cannot be the solar angel. The angel of the presence is a kind of angel-like existence on the higher mental plane. That existence is really our egoic lotus existence, and within that angel, which is our functioning ego on the higher mental plane, the solar angel has invested itself and is, in a way, substanding the entirety of that structure and is contributing to the consciousness of that structure. We do have our own, as it were, attenuated monadic consciousness on the higher mental plane, but consciousness is like a fluid, and the consciousness is enhanced in a certain way by the invested consciousness of the solar angel, who substands the entire process of our egoic consciousness on the higher mental plane and makes it possible for us, who are the monad in extension, to harvest our experiences and build them into the egoic lotus, into our consciousness on the higher mental plane, and eventually rise to the feet of the solar angel, as it were, and become, you know, many of us will be on the path to Sirius eventually, and we will be trained as solar angels, not all of us, maybe 80-85%, the bulk of humanity, those in whom Manus has not been developed as fully as it should be, because they don't have such an association with the moon chain origin or with the origin in the previous solar system. That's my guess, that those who are coming, well, you know, one cannot say this with certainty. But there's been so much monastic training coming from the previous solar system and coming from the moon chain that certain of human beings who have those origins, who are individualized in those places, do not need immediately the monastic training that is given on Sirius, where, well, they will become sparks of mahatic electricity. They will be well trained in Manus by the time that is concluded, and then other paths are available for that other 20 or 15%. It's how I see it at my present level of understanding or ignorance, depending on which we want to call it. So it's about initiation now that we're speaking, that mysterious merging of the higher type of energy we call solar angelic energy, the merging of the causal consciousness, which is substanded by the solar angelic presence and consciousness, with the consciousness of the lower man. And so there's an infusion of that type of substance, that golden substance which gives the principle of I-ness, the principle of unity, the principle of the self united with others, but of a apparently distinctive self. There is a merging of that unified and unifying soul consciousness with the consciousness which is characteristic of the personality. And this is what is being described here in these Angel of the Presence stanzas. We're told in Initiation Human and Solar that the angel can appear in various ways. Let's see, we can go over here. This might be the place. Here are the profound revelations which shine forth before the initiate in a triple manner. And I suppose this is seen within the that state of consciousness we call the chamber of initiation. At the third initiation, the ego stands before the initiate as a perfect triplicity. Not only is the self known to be intelligent, active love, but it is revealed also as a fundamental will or purpose, that with which man immediately identifies himself and knows that the three worlds hold for him in the future naught but only service as a sphere for active service wrought out in love through the accomplishment of a purpose which has been hid during the ages in the heart of the self, which could be considered the soul structure on the higher mental plane, because the self can be considered the monad, and the heart of the self is the ego. That purpose being now revealed can be intelligently cooperated with and thus matured. So this is, and let's read a little bit more of this, because this is really an important point of how it is that this the ego, and that is his own egoic structure substanded by the solar angel, and even, as it were, the presence of the solar angel within it. So these profound revelations shine forth before the initiate in a triple manner, and let's take a look at this triple manner. As a radiant angelic existence. All right. So that might be what we normally call our imagination, at least, of the solar angel. This is seen by the inner eye with the same accuracy of vision and judgment as when a man stands face to face with another member of the human family. And indeed, there is much of this face-to-face standing which we will see in these stanzas which relate to the third initiation. The great solar angel who embodies the real man, and I suppose the real man is the extension of the monad in this case, and is his expression on the plane of higher mind, is the expression of the real man, because the solar angel is providing the vehicle, is literally his divine ancestor, the watcher, who, through long cycles of incarnation, has poured himself out in sacrifice in order that man, as man, might be. So we as the monad, as the member of the fourth creative hierarchy, are. But we as man in the lower worlds are not, at least unless the solar angel, the radiant angelic existence, the great watcher, assists us to be through the individualization process. Because man is an individualized being, and we cannot say that the monad is an individualized being. So, and this is something that I really didn't notice before. I knew that all of this was occurring in the chamber of initiation, but not that it was occurring at the third initiation, which links it so very well with what we're about to study. So the appearance of the ego shines forth, and by the ego we mean that structure on the higher mental plane, the egoic lotus, as a living being, which is our vehicle on the higher mental plane. And the type of consciousness that it has is our consciousness, which is attenuated monadic consciousness, and a mixture with that of solar angelic consciousness. Maybe not the entirety of the solar angel, but enough of its presence, such are the mysteries of consciousness, that new qualities can be added to that consciousness. I mean, what would happen if we are a disciple in the world? We're going about our work or in a group, whatever, and suddenly we sense the presence of the Master's consciousness infusing our own. It's almost as if, you know, consciousness is like mercury. It's like quicksilver. It is a kind of a liquid metal, it's kind of a liquid, and apparently granulated consciousnesses or self-contained consciousnesses can merge with each other. So there is a kind of a presence which in which the consciousness of the Master is added to our own, and we see in a way and perceive in a way that we did not before, and then it may be withdrawn. And thus it is for the solar angel infusing our egoic life, and more than that, infusing our life in the three lower worlds. The presence, in terms of higher ideas and inspirations, the presence of some other type of consciousness, which is higher, can be detected. And that's why Alice Bailey says that we can slip into the soul's consciousness. It sounds very fluid, doesn't it? It's existing all the time, and there can be a mutual kind of pervasion. We entering that state of sentient fluidity, if I can call it that, and the solar angel with a portion of its consciousness entering that state of limited fluid sentiency, which is our own normal consciousness within the three worlds. So it becomes possible to be pervaded by a higher type of sentiency. And then, of course, that sentiency can be withdrawn when the moments of high inspiration are ceasing. As a matter of fact, the very withdrawing of it means that the moments of high inspiration are ceasing. So anyway, this being will appear as a radiant angelic existence, and to a degree we're talking about that the merging of that radiant angelic existence with the man when we deal with these angel of the presence stanzas. Also as a sphere of radiant fire linked to the initiate standing before it by that magnetic thread of fire which passes through all his bodies and terminates in the center of the physical brain. This is so important because, in a way, the angel makes itself not only present on the higher mental plane, but it actually sends a stream of its energy into the brain of the man for whom it is the watcher. So it is seen as a sphere of radiant fire linked with the initiate standing before it by that magnetic thread of fire, which passes through all his bodies and terminates within the center of the physical brain. The silver thread, as it is rather inaccurately called in the Bible, where the description of its loosening of the physical body and subsequent withdrawal is found, emanates from the heart center of the solar angel, who does seem to be rather manlike now in appearance, linking thus heart and brain. Of course, that's the silver thread, and are we going to call that the Sutra Atma as well? Because the Sutra Atma, or life thread, links, is from the monad. So it may be, in a sense, that the solar angel allows this life thread to pass through his own heart. Maybe we can call it the heart of the ego, in a sense, and then continue through into the very brain of man. And notice we call it the center of the physical brain, so we have a sense that it may well be the pineal gland as the dense expression of the inner etheric field within the brain, or the dense expression of the highest head center. So this silver thread, as it is rather inaccurately called in the Bible, where the description of its loosening of the physical body and subsequent withdrawal is found, emanates from the heart center of the solar angel, linking thus heart and brain, that great duality manifesting in this solar system, love and intelligence. So in a way, we derive the love from the solar angel, from Venus, and we link it to our brain, and so this is the fusion of love and mind, and the carrying out of the mental promptings through the coordination of the brain. This fiery sphere is linked likewise with many others belonging to the same group and ray, and thus it is a literal fact in demonstration that on the higher planes we are all one. And now we're talking about the higher mental plane in this case, so that has to be realized. One life pulsates and circulates through all via the fiery strands. And this is part of the revelation which comes to a man who stands in the presence with his eyes occultly open. And let's just say that at the third degree, we are in a way standing in the presence. We can pass through the door into the presence, and the angel will not yet disappear. The angel gives us a door into the presence, or we can stand, let us say, within the egoic lotus and causal body and be subjected to a portion of the presence, not the full unmediated impact of it, because we are still, as it were, within the sphere of the golden disc. So there may be times when we pass more fully via the Antikorana into the presence, and other times where we sense that presence in the very midst of our egoic or causal life. These are mysteries, and you know, I'm speaking here in language which is human language related to the three lower worlds, and is probably not so suitable to describe the kinds of mysteries that we are talking about here, but I'm making an attempt, you know, using as much of my intuition as I can to represent this process. This being encountered at the third degree also appears as a many-tinted lotus of nine petals. Apparently the central bud is not so much revealed, nor the jewel so much revealed. But it is in process of emerging, as there must be a deep inner light which one senses, which is not yet the full light of the radiant monad through the jewel and the lotus on the central petals, but which is beckoning to us, because at each initiation there is an unfoldment of one of the nine, one of the three petals surrounding the jewel and the lotus. So this also appears as a many-tinted lotus of nine petals, because all nine petals are open by the time we reach the third degree. These petals are arranged in three circles around a central set of three closely folded petals. Well, whether they really are closely folded at the third degree, or whether they have been opening up consistently along the way. I think D.K. kind of elaborates this as he goes on in his other books, which shield what is called in the Eastern books the jewel and the lotus. This lotus is a thing of rare beauty, pulsating with life and radiant with all the colors of the rainbow, and I want to ask, including red. And at the first three initiations, the three circles are revealed in order. And that may not technically be technically the case, but is generally the case. Until at the fourth initiation, the initiate stands before a still greater revelation and learns the secret of that which lies within the central bud, which is the secret of the presence of the monad as the central fire and as the jewel and the lotus. In this connection, the third initiation differs somewhat from the other two, inasmuch as through the power of a still more exalted hierophant than the bodhisattva, the electric fire of pure spirit latent in the heart of the lotus, that is the jewel, is first contacted, but not in fullest measure, I suspect. In all these words, solar angel, sphere of fire, well, he didn't use the word solar angel, but as we see, a radiant angelic existence is going to mean solar angel. In all these words, solar angel, sphere of fire, and lotus, lies hid some aspect of the central mystery of human life, but it will only be apparent to those who have eyes to see. The mystic significance of these pictorial phrases will prove only a snare or a basis for incredulity to the man who seeks to materialize them unduly. The thought of an immortal existence, of a divine entity, of a great center of fiery energy, and of the full flower of evolution lies hidden in these terms, and they must thus be thus considered. This is an extremely important section to link with what we're talking about here. In the merging of the angel of the presence with the man. At the fourth initiation, the initiate is brought into the presence of that aspect of himself, which is called his Father in heaven. So he's not brought into the full presence during this time of the angel merging, but into a portion of it or a degree of intensity of it. Then he's brought face to face with his own monad, that pure spiritual essence on the highest plane but one, which is to his ego or higher self what that ego is to the personality. Gosh, there's so much of value here. You know, I'm getting a little carried away just looking at this. The monad has expressed itself on the mental plane through the ego in a triple fashion. But now all aspects of the mind, as we understand it, are lacking. The solar angel hitherto contacted has withdrawn himself, and the form through which he functioned, the egoic or causal body, has gone, and naught is left but pure love wisdom, and that dynamic will, which is the prime characteristic of the spirit. So this is, we're dealing here with the destruction of the causal body. The lower self has served the purposes of the ego and has been discarded as well. The ego likewise has served the purpose of the monad, and that's the ego on the higher mental plane and not the ego, the true ego, which is the spiritual triad, and is no longer required. And the initiate stands free of both of them. Both soul and form together must renounce the principle of life and thus permit the monad to stand free. As we learn in the 10th law of esoteric healing. So the initiate stands free. The initiate is the monad, really, if you think about it. And that's why the group of human monads on the Buddhic, manifesting on the Buddhic plane, are called the initiates, and has been discarded. The ego likewise has served the purpose of the monad and is no longer required, and the initiate stands free of both, fully liberated and able to contact the monad, because the initiate is really the blessed one who is the extension of the monad, an extension attenuated in its intensity of being, if I can refer to it that way. As earlier, he learned to contact the ego, so the Antikarana work is not yet done, and there's going to be still a phase of Antikarana-like relationship as the attenuation of the monad rises towards its monadic home, which will be fully entered at the sixth degree, a great homecoming. For the remainder of his appearance in the three worlds, he is governed by the will, only by will and purpose, self-initiated, and creates his body of manifestation. We call that the Maya Varupa, and thus controls within karmic limits his own times and seasons. I guess he can come and go as he wishes, but always according to purpose and plan. The karma here referred to is planetary karma and not personal, as he has balanced out his personal karma. That's so interesting. The love aspect of the monad. This is so important. All of this. I've done commentaries here on the rays and the on these five initiations in Initiation Human and Solar, and I think we should get these up on Mkara as well. Maybe they are. I don't know. Maybe they are up. I lose track of of what has actually gone up for availability. So anyway, we get the idea here that we're dealing with a solar angel, a sphere of fire, a lotus. We're dealing with an angel of the presence. And this angel, we don't want to make too much of a distinction between the angelic existence and the sphere of fire and the lotus itself. There is, I think, an independent angel, the great solar angel, independent of the vehicle through which it manifests. But the vehicle through which it manifests, because of its because it is substanded by the angel, is likewise a kind of, in the constitution of man, a kind of angelic existence. Our egoic lotus is a kind of angelic aspect of ourselves. And I suppose the question is, how fully does the angel manifest within the egoic lotus? It says, we are directed to that old aphorism, having pervaded the entire universe with a fragment of myself, I remain. So the entire universe in this particular case is the egoic vehicle on the higher mental plane, and the I remain is the solar angel. He remains greater and above, vibrationally above, the vehicle into which he has invested a portion of his presence. He has invested his presence in the egoic lotus. So our consciousness on that higher mental plane is the consciousness, our own consciousness, and as an attenuated expression of the monad, but also the consciousness induced by the presence of the solar angel. The solar angel is conscious and aware within this vehicle, and is somehow egoic vehicle, and somehow nourishing this vehicle, and expanding it, illumining it, affecting human consciousness, affecting the consciousness of the member of the fourth creative hierarchy, who would not have this kind of expanded consciousness unless there was also the presence of the solar angelic consciousness on the higher mental plane. Well, I kind of want to copy this. You know, I want to copy it in. I want to copy it in very small print. And here is the third initiation. This is, the presence is shining forth, this great angelic presence. It is present to him. It's shining forth in different ways at the different initiations. At the first initiation, the initiate becomes aware of the third or lowest part of the ego, that of active intelligence, and he's brought face to face with the manifestation of the great solar angel, who is himself the real self, the solar angel or Petri, who is himself the real self. He knows now, past all disturbance, that that manifestation of intelligence is the eternal entity who has for ages past been demonstrating its powers on the physical plane through his successive incarnations. So there are great gifts given by the presence of the solar angel, the investment of the solar angel within the vehicle of man on the higher mental plane. But now it's in the active intelligence aspect that the solar angel is known. At the second initiation, this great presence is seen as a duality, and another aspect shines forth before him. He becomes aware that this radiant life, who is identified with himself, that's the point, the radiant life is identified with the man. He is not the man per se, but in his identification with the man, he seems to be the man, and the man seems to be him, at least for a time. That this radiant life who is identified with himself is not only intelligence in action, but is love wisdom in origin. He merges his consciousness with this life and becomes one with it, so that on the physical plane, through the medium of the personal self, the life is seen as intelligent love expressing itself. So the solar angel is blending his consciousness with our own, and due to that we are acquiring an intensification of active intelligence and of love and wisdom, intelligent love, wisdom. So all of us have to work to make it possible for the solar angel, or in this case we can call it the angel of the presence, to manifest in our personal life as a presence bestowing love, wisdom, and intelligence, so that we ourselves are possessed of these qualities in our consciousness. It's really a great gift the solar angel is giving. And then I'll repeat this, that at the third initiation, the ego stands before the initiate. Notice he's calling him the ego, and what we really learn here is that the ego is not just a structure, but a being as well. And it's not just an aspect of the human being, it's also the human being as substanded by the presence of a still greater being. So the ego here means a number of things. I remember talking to a man once who felt that the spiritual triad itself was the solar angel. And where I can see perhaps why he thought that was the case, we have to remember that man lives a triadal life after the solar angel has returned to the heart of the sun, or to whatever destination is his, namely perhaps even the central spiritual sun. But then again, some of those terms are interesting, because there are structures, energetic structures, on the monadic plane, which we could call the heart of the sun, and maybe on the logoic plane, which we could call the central spiritual sun, and they reflect respectively the soul nature of the solar logos, that is the heart of the sun, and the monadic nature of the solar logos, meaning the central spiritual sun. So in other words, that logoic structure on the logoic plane, that chakra related to the solar logos, and which could be called the central spiritual sun, is really a reflection of the true central spiritual sun, which is the monad of the solar logos. So at the third initiation, the ego, who is all these things, he's the he is the solar angel, he is a sphere of fire, appearing as a sphere of fire, he is the lotus, he is the man, and he is the angel itself, or a certain portion of the presence and power of the angel, and according to the divisibility of consciousness, the way that an aspect of consciousness can infuse another consciousness. He's all these things. There's such a process of merging, blending, fusing on these high levels. See, we in our, you know, so to speak, skin encapsulated ego down here, we feel ourselves to be quite distinct and quite granular, as it were. My friend Daniel Krumenacher always refers to the granularity of identity. I mean, we talked about that a long time. Well, that's an apparent, the particulate nature of identity. But there is something to be said for that, and also for the fluid nature of identity, and how there's really but one identity anyway, so the merging of apparently separate identities into other apparently separated identities is done through identification. And of course, the solar angel is an expert in identification. It can identify with this lower man, and we are increasingly understanding how to do this in our own right as we are rising into the higher levels of consciousness. So the ego is so many things. The true ego is the spiritual triad. It's a type of being consciousness on higher levels. The lesser ego is a being consciousness within the egoic lotus or causal body or within the substance of the higher mental plane. But the solar angel itself can be called the ego, and it can be called the angel of the presence. It's not that when we're going toward the presence, we confront only our own egoic structure. We also confront the presence of the solar angel within that egoic structure. We confront a consciousness which has suffused and is substanding that structure on the higher mental plane. So, you know, we cannot separate things too much when we think of the what's going on the higher mental plane in terms of our identity. You know, sometimes I have liked to say, well, the ego is of man and the solar angel is the solar angel. The angel of the presence belongs to man and the solar angel belongs to itself. But there's such a fluid interplay going on there that when we confront our own ego, it's really as much of the angel of the solar angel as that solar angel wants to invest in our structure. We cannot take the full power of the solar angel. I think somewhere DK says we would be destroyed if all of the powers of the ego were suddenly released, or, you know, presumably all the powers of the solar angel. Our consciousness could not stand it. Our being in the lower worlds could not stand it. Our vehicles could not stand it. But when we are merging with our own soul, and are coming under the radiation of our own causal body, we are also really entering the presence of the solar angel, which is an angel which will introduce us to the presence which we are. We come into the presence of the solar angel, which is diffusing our consciousness, and it introduces us to the presence which we really are, because we are extensions of the monad on that particular level, and we will come face to face with our particular origin. All right, it is really the origin of the solar angel and every other entity as well, but for the moment we're not there that we can realize the absolute oneness of all monads and achieve the full scope of expression as if we were the absolute one monad of cosmos. So there remains the sense of the distinction of the different monads, even though they are all one. But as we continue the process of monadic retraction, which I oftentimes think is well represented in this particular diagram, we will, this is it, this Parabrahm diagram. I think this is a great diagram for monadic retraction as well as for monadic outgoing. It's a strongly emanative diagram, I think. And as we retract more and more and merge with the containing consciousnesses, if I can call them that, then we realize more and more gradually the power of the one and only monad. And of course that will be ours really at the time of the universal day be with us, and not really before. Well, this is a bit of a digression, but what I wanted to do is at least copy this. Well, it's not a digression so much as it is a preamble. I might say it's a preamble. And I'm going to copy this from Initiation Human and Solar. And let's see what pages we're dealing with here. 116, 117... 116, 117, and 115. So it's IHS 115, and I'm going to make it very small so we really realize that it's an import. I'll make it as small as I possibly can within the range here. Whoop. That doesn't do. That's the wrong one. There we go. Okay. And I'll put it in the color green as I have been for these imports. So I'll just say, study with care. Care the following section from Initiation Human and Solar to discover more about the nature and function of the Solar Angel, which is in its extension into the causal body, becomes the angel of the presence. In other words, let's say this, the angel who reveals the presence through the egoic lotus, which it has substanded. I mean, sometimes I think I should say substood, but it sounds a foolish word, so I'll use the word which it has substanded. And here I'll also italicize these important points and also highlight them so we can see how it is that this angel appears. The further I go, the more I think I understand about the solar angel and the fluidity of the process which is occurring on the higher mental plane, and how it is ourselves and yet is not ourselves. I mean, all monads are one, and so every being is every other being. I mean, from that point of view, which is, enough of a statement to be considered heretical by most conventional religions, in most conventional religions we are who we are, and we go to heaven or hell, and we forever remain exactly what we are, the rather separate soul, you might say. But that's a contradiction in terms. I'm saying we are all each other, and there's only one being. That's what I'm saying. And of course, there are intensities of realization of this fact. I assert the fact. Well, there comes a time when one knows that fact in a sufficient intensity of being to reveal it in however gradual a manner. That's what I'm trying to do, to achieve a greater intensity of realization of that great fact, and to reveal it in an intelligent manner so that it can be appreciated by others. So this angel of the presence is the means by which we at least not using the anti-Quranic method per se, but by blending with our own soul, we are entering, in a way, the angel of the presence, and we are entering an attenuation of the great presence, which we are. So within our egoic lotus, as we merge with it, we are also merging with that portion of the invested solar angel, which substands the causal body or egoic lotus. In fact, it has shaped it. It, according to its own geometry, a kind of heart center has occurred there. If we kind of realize that it's from the heart, it is the 12 petaled heart of the solar angel, which I begin to think gives the egoic lotus its 12 petaled nature. Of course, maybe it's 9 petals, and that's a kind of a monastic number, which are specifically from the solar angel. But I think the solar angel is also involved in drawing down the Buddhic energy from the plane of Buddhi, which forms around the central fire, these three petals of synthesis, three higher and Buddhic petals, because the solar angel certainly has Buddhic capacity. As a matter of fact, when we turn to this particular, diagram here, we see that solar angels are listed right here in relation to the human hierarchy and in relation to the Buddhic plane. What's happening below this is on the higher mental plane. What's happening here is in relation to the Buddhic plane, and note that the term solar angels, Agnishvatas, Buddhic, are there. So the human being, in a way, is appearing through the solar angel on the fourth subplane, the fourth cosmic etheric subplane. There's a big mystery here. DK repeatedly tells us we cannot fathom this, we cannot unravel this. And I believe he's correct. I mean, the further I go with this, the more layers I find to the mystery. But there is, let's just say, an alliance between the human monad and the solar angel. The solar angel is a great benefactor. It's really helping a younger monad to walk. I mean, no monads are younger than any other, but younger in manifestation. And helping a younger monad to walk with intelligence in the three lower worlds and preparing him to walk beyond. So, okay, well, all of this has turned out to be a preamble. I did not imagine that it would. I thought perhaps that I would get into the first stanza, but I think this was necessary. So in other words, the angel of the presence is the solar angel, and yet not the fullness of the solar angel. It is as much of the solar angel as the solar angel invests in the causal structure of man on the higher mental plane. The higher mental plane is not the true plane of the solar angel by any means. And the solar angel really has a higher plane altogether. The solar angel focuses mostly on a higher, too much of a rush, higher plane altogether. And only its extension is on the higher, and only its extension or investment, if I can put it that way, investment, which means getting into clothes, so to speak, getting into investment, and only its investment is on the higher mental plane and below, even into the dense physical brain of man. And its truer focus is on the higher ethers, Buddhic, and some say beyond. It's such an intricate matter, you know. Sometimes I despair of, you know, really making sense of it, but I think enough sense is being made so that we understand that there is a great being. It has this Buddhic energy, and maybe energy from beyond, since it's already been to the cosmic astral plane, and it invests a portion of itself within the higher, the substance of the higher mental plane. It creates a egoic lotus, which it substands and whose radiation becomes the causal body, we might say. The ovoid, its radiation becomes a kind of ovoid, radiant ovoid, we call the causal body. And that when invested, when the solar angel is invested in the causal body, egoic lotus, it is called the angel of the presence, angel of the presence, because the presence, which is the monad, is within the structure which the angel has created, which the solar angel has created. Okay. So that, I think, well, you know, at my present level of understanding, that's what I can say. So, as the man approaches the third initiation, the angel of the presence, or should we say the solar angel, manifests itself in various ways, as we have been here describing various ways, as a radiant angelic existence, as a sphere of fire, and as a golden lotus, well, a lotus of many colors. You almost think of it as the coat of many colors. You know, Jacob's coat of many colors is, I think, our an analogy to our causal body. And the fullness of that is occurring in Aquarius. Jacob is sometimes, was it Benjamin? He gave it to, I have to retrace this. There's a Jacob and Benjamin involved in this story, but there is a coat of many colors, which is part of that story. I do believe it's kind of an Aquarian description. The Rainbow Coalition, you know, it's an Aquarian description of the causal body in a state of fullness. Well, okay, friends, this is our preamble. And when we contact that angel of the presence, we will be contacting the solar angel as it works through. When we contact the angel of the presence, we will be contacting the solar angel as invested in the causal body, in the egoic lotus. It works through that egoic lotus to bring about a merging with man. Now, effectively, what's happening is the higher causal nature of man is merging with the vehicles of the lower self, and with the consciousness which inhabits those vehicles. Remembering that consciousness is really no different from monadic consciousness, except in its scope and intensity. It is of the same essence as monadic consciousness. All consciousness is one. All being is one. If we take literally those statements, those aphorisms, those principles, we might say, then we will come into a very strange world, strange because it is no longer subject to the type of divisions which we normally think make sense. In other words, we shall come into areas of apparent irrationality. It doesn't make sense in the way lesser concepts seem to make sense to us, and yet there is a higher order of rationality involved in the discovery of the dynamics of merging and fusion, which occur on the higher mental plane because of the presence of the solar angels serving the extension of the monad, the Blessed One, the extension of the monad. Okay, well, I'll let that go now, and then when I come back, I'll get into the actual stanzas, and we'll begin to read them. So the preamble is given, and then we'll say this is the end of the Angel of the Presence Commentaries, number one. And we're still on page 44 of Esoteric Psychology, volume 2. Okay, friends, we'll be back. Maybe the day will come when, with full clarity, it is possible to explain this mystery of the solar angel and its blending and fusing with a vehicle which our attenuated monad is using. The attenuated monad is a central fire. Maybe we'll simply sense the presence of the solar angel within us, assisting our monad at every step, assisting that being who is the monad with its own type of consciousness in the lower worlds, raise that consciousness so that the monad can fulfill its purpose and become a monad in retraction, retracting its emanation sent forth until there is the great homecoming. We always have our lesser analogies on the outer level. Okay, the great homecoming. All right, we'll see you soon. Bye-bye.